I'm Jack Carditti. I'm the spokesman for New Approach Missouri. We are the coalition of patients, veterans, healthcare providers that are supporting Amendment 2, which is one of three medical marijuana measures that will be on the Missouri ballot in less than 2 weeks. Amendment 2 would allow state-licensed physicians, MDs or DOs, to recommend medical marijuana to Missourians with serious and debilitating illnesses, including cancer, epilepsy, PTSD, HIV, MS, and other debilitating illnesses. We are really proud of the support that we have received in this campaign. Amendment 2 has been endorsed by the Missouri Epilepsy Foundation, the St. Louis American, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, St. Louis City NAACP, the Joplin Globe, Steve Pokin of the Springfield Newsletter, Hank Waters of the Columbia Tribune, as well as many veterans and patients and doctors from across the state. But today we're really excited to announce the endorsement of the Missouri Veterans of Foreign Wars. The VFW in Missouri does not often make endorsements in political races or in ballot measures, and so their support is particularly gratifying. The VFW really sees Amendment 2 as a win-win for veterans. So not only does it cover PTSD and other ailments that our veterans are suffering with every day, and you'll hear some of those personal stories and why veterans are supporting this here in a second, but obviously also the small 4% retail tax that would go on the sale of medical marijuana will go to help veterans and their health care in Missouri and will be allocated by an existing state agency, the Missouri Veterans Commission. So we're really excited to have that endorsement today. I'm going to bring each of the veterans on for a minute or two to talk, and then, like I said, we will open it up to the media for questions. So the first person I want to introduce is Tom Wendell. Tom is the former state commander of the Missouri VFW, one of the most highly decorated veterans in Missouri. He served in the United States Army. He served two combat tours in Vietnam as an Arrow Scout gunner. Throughout his career, Tom has earned the Silver Star, Distinguished Flying Cross, the Bronze Star Medal for Valor, the Air Medal for Valor, the Army Commendation Medal for Valor, four Purple Hearts, the Vietnam Cross Gallantry, the Air Crew Member Wings, and Parachute Wings. So, Tom, welcome the call, and please take it away.
Thank you very much, Jack. I just want to reiterate everything that you said about Amendment 2 and let you know that veterans in the state of Missouri, as past state commander of the Veterans of Foreign War, and over 440,000 veterans, of which over 90% are registered voters, are ecstatic that Amendment 2 has taken the stance that it has and brought this opportunity, this option to our veterans and to the community, to the citizens of Missouri. We rarely ever endorse any type of campaign, but this one was dear to our hearts, and we're losing over 22 veterans a day to suicide, 9 family members a day to suicide, and 1 service member to suicide. And we have to get a control somehow on the opioid and drug issues that we're having. And we feel that medical cannabis is that option that we need. And after over 50 months of validation of validity of medical cannabis of my own, I really do believe that this is the right thing to do. And I want to thank everyone from New Approach Missouri and all the volunteers and everything that did so well on bringing this Amendment 2 forth. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Next, we're going to bring on Debbie Holmes. Debbie Holmes is a United States Air Force Desert Storm veteran that lives in Independence. So after military sexual trauma, cervical cancer, knee replacement, and her son's critical injury in an auto accident, she's walked away from a high-level consulting job and is now an advocate, a veteran advocate for medical marijuana. Debbie, welcome to the call, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jack. I really treasure the opportunity that you're giving me to speak. This is very dear to my heart as not only a veteran and a patient, but a mother and a three-time cervical cancer survivor. I have been through the VA and pain management till now. I've had about everything thrown at me, and I would like people in my situation and my son's situation to have better alternatives than opiates, antidepressants, benzos, and anticonvulsants. I think we owe it to our veterans and really mankind in general to provide different options, especially because, you know, Tom mentioned the 22 a day number. When you add overdose deaths for veterans into that, it's over 50 a day. So it's extremely important we do something, because Missouri in the last 5 years has seen 137% increase in overdose deaths due to opioids.
Debbie, next we're going to hear from Todd Scatini. Todd served in the United States Army for 27 years until just recently. He was enlisted for 2 years before attending the United States Military Academy at West Point. He was commissioned as an Army officer in 1996. Todd served in several combat arms units in the United States and Europe. He then became a foreign area officer, serving in diplomatic and multinational posts throughout Europe. Todd, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the call.
Thank you, Jack, and thanks so much for providing me the opportunity to speak on this. As you said, I'm recently retired. My last duty assignment was at the Command and General Staff College in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and we decided to reside in Missouri. Missouri has been a recurring theme in my career. I first went to basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri as a private, and later on went to West Point and was assigned to Fort Riley, Kansas, and I spent a lot of time in Kansas City because one of my best friends at West Point was a Kansas City native, so I spent a lot of time here. I never imagined that I would retire here, but here I am, and I'm super excited to think about what medical cannabis will mean not only to Missouri, but especially to veterans who reside here. As we've identified, I think the veterans are in the midst of a healthcare crisis with exorbitantly high suicide rates and overdose rates and opioid addiction rates. And in my view, this is no way to treat people who have signed up on the dotted line to put their life on the line to protect our nation and our values. I believe that medical cannabis is a very safe and effective way to treat so many of our wounds of war, both visible and invisible. I think number one priority is addressing chronic pain and reducing the number of opioids that our veterans are being prescribed, as well as treating the symptoms of post-traumatic stress, which is an incredibly complex issue. But I think that medical cannabis is part of the answer. And finally, I believe that medical cannabis and cannabis medicine is an effective way to treat traumatic brain injury and eventually to mitigate and prevent traumatic brain injury, which is a huge issue amongst especially Army personnel. As we know, at least 82% of veterans support research into medical cannabis, and that is something that I believe Amendment 2 provides for, and providing access to this is certainly a path forward to help us get out of this veterans health crisis. And so I'm very pleased to cast my vote for Amendment 2, and I'm encouraging other veterans throughout the state to do the very same thing. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Todd. Has Kyle joined the call? I know he had some trouble calling in.
I had some issues with my phone. I apologize.
No problem. So Kyle Kistner served in the military from 2004 through 2011 with tours in both Iraq and Afghanistan. and as a result, he has suffered from anxiety and other mental health issues upon his return. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us today, and go ahead and take it away.
Thanks for having me here, guys. There's not a whole lot I could really say that everyone else hasn't said, so a lot of what I'll say is just kind of going to be a reiteration in addition to telling you kind of my thing. I really came to be a full circle, to be a strong cannabis supporter, and this is after being raised in a way that definitely wasn't acceptable. And nothing was acceptable unless it was tobacco or alcohol and you were of age. That's kind of the way I was raised. I came back full circle to support cannabis as an option for sick people based on the fact that I developed a pretty severe and significant dependency on opioids as well as benzodiazepines for anxiety. It drove me to, I attempted suicide twice. I was just living a very, very bad life, one that I wasn't happy with. And I started, it was around this time I started reading this research, I don't know if it was by chance or what, that had been done by this guy named Raphael Meshulam, who had actually been studying this stuff since the late 60s, discovered THC, discovered the endocannabinoid system that helps regulate and nourish all elements of our body. And it was his conclusion that cannabis was the best medicine for PTSD and many other service-related illnesses. 2017, I got a chance to meet Dr. Meshulam and just ask him point blank, him and along with a lot of other researchers, and I had all that confirmed. So, you know, we can look at the fact that, yeah, you're telling these people to raise their right hand and swear that if they're asked to, with no questions asked, they'll lay their life on the line. And then when they come home with problems from fighting that war, you know, they come back with cancer from Agent Orange or from burn pits or from bad anthrax shots, and the medicine that would save their lives is being denied to them. And in fact, some veterans who aren't satisfied, they're kind of ahead of schedule. And those are the people that I'm also concerned for, because, you know, they're out there playing a dangerous game and possibly facing severe persecution, jail, and basically having their life ruined over a plant, over making what is, quite frankly, the best decision they can make healthcare-wise. Cannabis has led to significant drops, 24.8% on average, in opioid overdoses in Colorado, Washington. It's led to an average 20% drop in veteran suicide, which, oh, by the way, Missouri has a more significant problem with than most other states. We're about 10 to 12% above the national average on that front. So I think this is a very important issue, and I'm absolutely voting yes on it.
Well, great. We're going to open it up to questions here in a second from the media. We appreciate all four of you veterans being on today. So obviously, 30 other states currently allow for medical marijuana, but this Missouri, if Amendment 2 passes, would actually be the first state that funds are dedicated towards veterans and their health care. And that's really one of the exciting parts of Amendment 2. In fact, and it's getting national attention. In the October edition of the VFW National Magazine, they profile the issue of medical marijuana and veterans, and in that they do talk about Amendment 2 and this effort. So this is something we're really proud of. We've garnered a lot of endorsements from all across the state, but this endorsement today from the state VFW is really, really exciting. The work that the Missouri Veterans Commission can do in our veterans' homes, at our veterans' cemetery, reaching out to veterans is important, but they need more funding. We do a great job as a country and as a state training our brave men and women to send them off to fight our wars. We could do, frankly, a better job taking care of them when they come back home, and that's part of what we believe Amendment 2 can help with. So with that, I would open it up to questions from the media. Please go ahead and tell your name and your media outlet, and then we will be happy to answer your question.
Joe Manis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Well, Joe, go ahead and take it first.
Pardon?
Go ahead first, Joe. I'll go on next.
Okay. Here's my question. Has the VFW been involved in elections with marijuana in other states, or is this a first here in Missouri?
May I answer that question?
Yeah, so Tom and Dell, go ahead.
Yes, they have taken, they have certainly supported in other states such as Colorado, California, but actually taking the initiative and coming forth, we've been waiting. We've always led the way for the last 118 years. We started the Veterans Administration, the Veterans Hospital. It all came out of the Veterans of Foreign War. And we wanted to make sure that medical cannabis was everything that we felt it was, and what science and medicine said. And time passed, and we are fully confident that now, at this present time, that we should step forward and endorse Amendment 2, because it is definitely the right thing to do.
But have your counterparts in other states done the same?
They have not done a formal written endorsement, but they have stood up and definitely worked on the campaigns to get medical cannabis approved in other states, but they have not written a formal endorsement like we did here in the state of Missouri.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Joe. Next question.
And Tom, I'm sorry, can I just add to that? This is Todd Scatini. I noted that in Indiana, the VFW there supported research in their policies, and VFW did that as well at a national level in 2017. And I think that's important to note. And that for me personally, that's also why I'm becoming a VFW member again.
Yeah, and Joe. Joe. Aaron will send out that VFW National magazine profile from this month, because it does talk about the VFW and their interaction with this issue across the country. But as Tom said, this is really one of the first state level formal endorsements that we've seen. Question.
This is Jack Miles with Richmond News. Kyle, you said that you had opioid dependency, and then you were able to use medical marijuana to help get off of that dependency. And a lot of people in my area are of the impression that you can become dependent on medical marijuana. Would you talk about the transition from the opioids to medical marijuana and how that affected you? Just go ahead with that.
Sure. Well, for starters, even currently in practice, I'll try to keep this as short as possible, but even currently in practice, we have what's called a drug-assisted therapy, or basically assisted abstinence. So they have things like methadone and Suboxone. Unfortunately, some of those programs cost, and if you don't have the right insurance, or you're not in the city, some places in St. Louis will actually give the box for free, provide your certain income, but other than that, it's not something that's readily available. Furthermore, these are still opioids we're talking about, so it's really prolonging that particular addiction. Now, marijuana has been found to have the potential to form what's called marijuana use disorder. Personally, I think the definition of marijuana use disorder needs to be reevaluated, but that's neither here nor there, comma. But what we are seeing is that it's less addictive, actually, than caffeine. Less than 9% of people actually form marijuana use disorder. So even with kind of a broad definition under that heading, they're still seeing very low rates of addiction. Furthermore, we don't have a mass collection of cannabis receptors crowded around the base of our spinal column like we do with opioids. So therefore, you take too many opioids, you can't breathe, you die. Nothing like that has ever happened with marijuana. Marijuana has never been the direct cause of a single drug overdose death ever in the entirety of human history, and you can fact check that. So
So the transition for me really was that I, instead of being doped up on opioids all the time, if I'm able to use medical cannabis, and that is if I'm in a place where it's allowed, and I'm able to get that medicine in my body, I'm able to cope with my pain and deal with the realities of that, as well as any emotional or mental pain that resides underneath that. I'm able to address that through therapy and through all those things. Look, you can't really go through therapy very well when you're so built up on Percocet that you can't even hold your head up.
One of sort of the groundbreaking studies that has come out recently, and it's in the May edition of the Journal of American Medicine. Obviously, Journal of American Medicine is the Cadillac of medical studies in America, shows that states that implement a medical marijuana law see an actual decrease in opioid prescriptions. There was obviously a 2014 study as well that shows that states that implement medical marijuana laws see a decrease in opioid-related deaths, and the longer a state has a medical marijuana law, the more significantly those opioid deaths decrease. And if you need a copy of any of those, Aaron can send those out. Thanks for the question, Jack. Next question from the media.
Jack, this is Debbie Holmes. Do you mind if I interject for a moment? Because I am someone who transitioned off of opiates using cannabis.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. I, due to chronic pain from service-related injury and several surgeries for it, found myself on a cocktail of fentanyl, soma, dilaudid, Neurontin, amitriptyline, Cymbalta, and Mobic. My last opiate was December 31st last year. I've dumped 5 prescriptions. I think that's some evidence-based medicine right there. And if I don't have my medical cannabis, I'm not going through withdrawal. I'm just cranky. And as far as things that it's, that the range of various conditions it's good for, you know, veterans have a lot of chronic pain, insomnia, anxiety, PTSD, and depending on the strain, you can address all of that with a single plant. Not 5 meds.
Yep. Debbie, this is Todd. Thanks for sharing that with us, because I know sometimes that's tough. And one of the things that, if I can add, I've spoken to other opioid addicts and asked them if they want to step away from that. And every one of them, to the person, says, absolutely, it is a living hell to be a slave to this particular medication that may one day kill me. And they all mention the fact that they've tried before and they do experience tremors and cramps, depression, anxiety, insomnia, and nausea. And I think just the fact that a plant that is non-toxic and has an incredibly low addiction rate, that is, I mean, negligible, if anything, is not being looked at to address all of those issues, where we've had at least exceptional anecdotal evidence, tons of anecdotal evidence, and now a mounting a huge amount of scientific evidence showing that we can treat those. It just seems kind of like common sense, and this is a common sense law, and it's going to benefit veterans significantly.
Right, and they don't even have to be addicts. They can just have, you know, physical dependence from, you know, 12 years of getting stuff from their pain management doctor and still hate the side effects, feel like a slave to it, and want to get rid of it like I did. It, you know, you need another solution. It's scary when your doctor hands you a Narcan injector.
I promised several of you that I'd get you on and off of this in a half an hour, so we do have about time for one or two more questions from the media. Any last question?
Well, Tom opened this by saying that he thought
medical marijuana could prevent suicide, and I would like to make the connection to how that prevents suicide specifically.
First and foremost, honestly, if I may, real quick, first and foremost, it helps suicide by being better medicine, quite frankly. I mean, it sounds pretty simple, but it goes beyond that, too. Cannabis, it has a therapeutic property which allows, THC is chemically identical to anandamide, which our body produces as a way to generate therapeutic feelings of happiness and bliss. So in that sense, there's the therapeutic element on that, but it also gets you, the only two drugs right now the FDA has approved for PTSD are Paxil and Zoloft, which we know lead to higher prevalence of veterans attempting and completing suicide. We know that for a lot of people, they're shown to be no more effective than a placebo. I'm simply saying that cannabis works because it's a better tool and can lead to better solutions.
And if I might add to that as well, you know, there are a number of anti-anxiety medications and antidepressants that veterans are prescribed to treat post-traumatic stress, which, as I said, is an incredibly complex issue. And if you look at some of the side effects of many of those products, there are statements such as increased potential for suicidal ideation, increased potential for depression, and the fact that we go in and have the bravery to talk to our doctors about those issues that we're having, saying that they would potentially provide us a product that would lead to increased potential for that. So I've never had anyone under the effects of cannabis to feel that same way.
Hello, this is Joe Maness again. Quick question. The VFW official, are there particular things that you guys are going to be doing to get the word out to your members or other people between now and November 6th?
Absolutely. We're all over social media on this. Well, we're actually trying to get clients together so we can go on television and get some commercials out there and let people know what the facts are, because cannabis, medical cannabis, we're not saying it's going to heal you or cure you, but we know without a doubt that it gives you the ability to cope with any type of psychological or physical challenge that you may have. And I've lost a lot to get to this point to believe in that. I was totally against it 50 some months ago. I've lost my only son, a daughter, their mother, and 90 to 100 of my friends to either taking too many pills, drinking on their pills, or suicide. And it was a hard way to learn that. But and personally speaking, if it hadn't been for cannabis, I would be dead. There's just no way that some of us can really deal with a lot of psychological issues. You know, we not only have our military stuff, and then we have personal issues that we have to deal with. And opioids and all these, like Todd mentioned, the other drugs that's for anti-depression. I'm telling you, I've taken them all for 20, 30 years. And that's the only option that they had to give us. I don't fault the VA. I don't fault the Veterans Hospital. They're the greatest hospital, the greatest doctors I've ever worked with in my life. And I owe my life to them. And I want to give them this option and give them this education also, so they can bring this option to us in a professional way.
We really appreciate all four of these veterans being with us today. Obviously, it's not always an easy topic to talk about health and mental health. And it wasn't, it would have been much easier for the Missouri VFW not to get involved in campaigns, but they obviously feel strongly about it, and we really welcome their support. If you are needing an on-camera interview or want to set up a one-on-one video interview with veterans, please just email Aaron and we will set that up today. So again, we appreciate all four of these veterans being with us, speaking out today, and appreciate the media taking your time out of your busy day with 12 days left to go in a pretty
busy election cycle. So thanks for your time today, and please let us know if you need any follow-up information.
Kyle, thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Cheers.
Great. Thanks. Thank you.